The Lord can only fill that which is empty. And we sing in one of our songs, "Empty, that thou shouldest fill me. A clean vessel in thy hand with no power, but as thou givest. Graciously with each command." I don't know who started singing "Fill Me Now," but I was sitting here wondering. I thought now, there were a couple thoughts going through my head. You know, when God is able to use different ones in different ways, in this song that was sung, and in the testimonies that are given, and so on, it really helps the preacher. Because then it lets him know what to say. And God has laid a thought on my heart now, and I wonder if we could turn to John chapter 2 and read the story of the first miracle that Jesus performed. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee, and Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. And when the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Dear woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied, "My time has not yet come." So his mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you to do." Nearby stood 6 stone water jars, the kind that are used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. And then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so. And the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and he said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best until now." This is the first of his miraculous signs Jesus performed at Cana in Galilee. He thus revealed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him. I don't know, Brother Elliot, you can add this to your list. It's probably not going to be on my bucket list of things to do. But here Jesus did something that I don't know has ever been done before, but Jesus did it. And it's a wonderful miracle. Now, whenever we read this story, everybody gets hung up on, was this Yayuk or Yayin? I think I got the right words. Is this fermented, intoxicating, how many proof wine, or is this grape juice? And then we lose, I think we lose the whole point of the story, because we're too worried about if you don't like to drink anything intoxicating, and I don't, well then this isn't the proof text for you. But it isn't your proof text either if you think you like to drink intoxicating and a little wine's good for your stomach's sake. I don't think this is your proof text either, just like Daniel's story this morning isn't really to prove the vegan lifestyle. This is not either or, and it could be debated until the cows come home. That's an expression. I don't know. I hope they don't come to my house. But wherever they come, when they go home, we can debate back and forth. And there are, you know, good men, preachers that, like Dave Wilkerson, I think R.C. Sproul, I know Jim Cimbala. They've all up and down, and impossible that this is anything intoxicating. This is no more than good grape juice, not the cheap store brand, but Welch's. The best stuff that was saved to the very end, when usually you give out the good stuff first and get rid of the Welch's, and then you go back to the Pathmark or whatever it might be brand, no more Pathmark, but Stop and Shop or whatever. Well, they're sure of that. They're sure of that. You couldn't convince them differently. And if you're interested in that and you want to try to prove it, well, then read Sipping Saints by Dave Wilkerson, and you can read all about Yayuk and Yayin. Now, the man dealt with people and lived half his life helping people with addiction to alcohol and drugs. And so he's coming from a perspective where he sees what it can do. And he didn't think Jesus would ever do anything to offer someone to that, to be put in that condition. And then there's the other side. And so back and forth. Now, in the Bible, wine is associated with joy, with celebration and joy. You read of it, I think it's in Psalm 4. Am I right? He's my Bible dictionary. He sits on my left in church. And if ever I need a scripture text, I just go to the almanac. And Brother Frank often knows. But I think there's a verse in there that talks about our joy is greater than when they're new wine and they're wheat harvest and whatever. And joy, again, in a few other places, it's with celebration. It's happy. It's joy. And I think maybe that's what I get out of this more than the other. Jesus came into a situation, and I don't know who was to be blamed. I don't know. But there was a disappointment at that wedding. You know, weddings are supposed to be perfect, right? Everything is planned. Everything is planned. I remember Naomi and Tim at your wedding. Are they still here? Oh, there's Tim. I remember there was like, everything was written down and listed to the minute. Everything had to be done perfunctorily and perfectly. Now, Tim and Naomi aren't the only ones. I mean, that's most weddings. It really puts the preacher in a tight spot. I mean, you got to do it right. You can't flub up because this bride and this groom want it done perfectly. And so every part of the wedding, from what they look like to what's going on and the musicians and the timing, and it's all perfect, and somebody messed up. Somebody underordered. We had s'mores the other night out on the beach, and Brother Peter gave me chocolate, marshmallows, and graham crackers. You know, we used every single marshmallow. I don't think there was a lack, though. I think we had supplied the need quite well, and some of you, we may be overfilled. And there was no more chocolate left either. Every bit of the chocolate and every bit of the marshmallow was gone. There was a little bit, a few graham crackers, not many, just a few. Now, what would have happened if you wanted a s'more and we didn't have enough? Who would we blame? Would we blame Brother Peter? No, maybe we blame the guy that had 9 of them and he shouldn't have eaten that many and he could have taken the blame. Well, really, the answer to that is there is nobody to really blame. It's nobody's fault. It just turned out that way. It just happened that way. Maybe it was an extremely hot day, and maybe there was no air conditioning in the venue, and everybody was so thirsty that it just didn't last as long as it normally would. And I don't know who was doing what wrong, but there was disappointment that entered into that celebration, that celebration that is supposed to be, you know, perfect and not messed up, especially nothing left to drink. And so we got a problem on our hands. Now, you've had disappointments too, probably not at your weddings, because every one of them probably went perfectly. Maybe. If I was the officiant, probably not. My uncle, Brother Frank, the pastor before me, I mean, he officiated a wedding where he pronounced the bride and the groom, he pronounced a man and woman. That was maybe timely and prophetic, I'm not sure. But this was about 50 years ago that he did that. And he caught himself as soon as he had done it, but too late. I mean, once you say it, everybody's off their seats rolling in the aisles with laughter. And it was a little tough to recoup, but he, Brother Frank, can get it back really quickly and make it all right. And he did. But, well, maybe you've had disappointments. We've all had them. We've all had them. You've had them. You've had your share of them. And some of them, I guess it would be keen disappointments. I mean, really terrible. The relationships. Some maybe have had relationships that didn't make it as far as you wanted it to go, whether it was before marriage or through marriage. But the relationship ended somehow or other because of whatever the reasons or circumstances. But it wasn't what you bought into. It wasn't what you thought it would be. And you've been sadly disappointed in that relationship. Maybe you went into a career and started with a company, and and you thought you had a lot of upward mobility, and you found that there was a ceiling there, and you weren't going very far, and it seemed to be more nepotism than it was anything else, and it wasn't what you had thought it would be, and disappointment. But now you're kind of stuck and don't know really where to go and how, and nobody's, whatever it might be, disappointments. Maybe some of you here and some people are disappointed in their children. Or maybe children are disappointed in their parents. There's a lot to go around. Maybe you're disappointed in your car. You thought it was going to go from 0 to 60 in 1.3 seconds, and it takes 1.9 seconds. And you're disappointed that you thought you bought a car that drives itself, but you found out it really doesn't. You really still do need to hold the steering wheel. Whatever. Keen, small, big, little. I don't know what this would be characterized as, but many times in my life and in your life too, we face disappointments. I'll be singing one of our hymns, and maybe this is one of the keen ones. Anybody ever have this happen? Earthly friends may prove untrue. You ever have that? That hurts. That's a disappointment. David said, Ahithophel, we two should take sweet counsel together. We went to the temple. We worshiped God. And Ahithophel, my friend, he's lifted up his heel against me. I think that was another way of saying, I'm really disappointed. Not only am I disappointed in Ahithophel, I'm just disappointed. It's not working out. And my joy, when I'm disappointed, my joy is ebbing away. It's robbed. It's gone. And then I have to try to find joy. I have to find somehow or other to make my life go again, to make it happy and joyful and radiant again. Because the wine is gone and the sadness has set in. And so Jesus' mother runs to Jesus. Now that's a smart thing to do. And maybe that's a good thing for you to do too. Well, she went to Jesus and said, Jesus, they have no more wine, implying, hey, Jesus, do something. You're good at these kinds of things. You know, do something. And the answer Jesus gave, I mean, if maybe you answered your mother like that, I don't know. It wasn't so kind, maybe you would think. Now, I'm not suggesting Jesus was unkind. I think it was kind of like the thing when he said to Peter, my time is not yet. In other words, Mom, I'm not going to go outside the will of my Father, not even for you. I know they need joy and I know they need help, but I'm not going to do what my Father hasn't told me to do, and I'm not even going to do it at your request. You know, sometimes we try to find our own outside of the Father's will. We try to find our own answer to the disappointments. Sometimes it might satisfy for a little while. Sometimes it just brings greater disappointment. Sometimes we run from one relationship into another one, and oh no, we only did it because we lost the one relationship, and now we're in twice as bad a predicament than we were the first time around. Why did they ever do that? Well, maybe you went outside of what God had for you and planned for you. Maybe you ran ahead of him, or maybe you lagged behind him. But we can't do that. We need to learn. Lord, I don't want to try to find my own joy in life, in good things or illicit things. We can name a whole long list of bad things. They try to find it in a needle. They try to find it in a bottle. They try to find it in some kind of illicit relationship or whatever it might be, in a party. Why are people doing these things? These people are not satisfied. And so they're looking to somehow or other find satisfaction. I know this guy is really, really old, and I'm even going to forget his name because I never really knew him that well. A guy that comes to our church once in a little while. He works most of his life. I got a text from David Mena this week, greeting all of you that are up here at camp, wishing he could be with us, wanting to know if there's room just for him to sleep in the barn. I don't know. But anyway, I know that he was friends with a lot of the Rolling Stones. I don't mean the ones that go down the hill and, you know, watch out for falling stones as you're coming up to camp. But there was a group, I think, that used to sing together, if they call it that. And they traveled around the whole world together, and they were known as the Rolling Stones. Anybody hear of them? Ever hear of them? Write names. Get names. These people. Whatever. Okay. So they heard of these Rolling Stones. And David Menner used to ride on the airplanes with them overseas to England, and he was a big record guy and CD guy, and sold all the records that you could sell in New York City at a time, and had kind of monopoly on it, and on and on and on. And so Menner knew all these guys personally. And he knew the guy that was interviewed by David Frost. And if you know his name, when I get that far, please just tell me his name, because it escapes me now, but it's a famous one. But David Frost was interviewing someone, and he asked this guy who wrote a song. I think the name of it was Ain't Got No Satisfaction. Mick Jagger, that's the guy. Anybody, get ready. Anybody ever hear of Mick Jagger? Camp officers raising their hands left and right over here. Okay, Mick Jagger. And David Frost, in an interview, and this is years ago, said, you wrote the song, Ain't Got No Satisfaction. Have you ever found it yet? Now, this was after the guy was wasted because of his drugs and his lifestyle and everything else. And he was an old man at that time already. And he answered, David Frost, Google it, maybe you can find it, I'm not even sure, I don't know. But he said to David Frost, no, I still have not found satisfaction. Somebody asked Brady, what's his first name? Tom Brady. They asked him just recently. Now that guy, I understand, is married to one of the most beautiful women in the world. I don't know who she is, but I just hear that she is. The guy's worth a mint and a fortune. He's been playing football ever since he was knee-high to an ant, and he's still playing now that he's as old as I am. And he's run all the rings you can win, and he's amazing. He's an amazing athlete, an amazing football player, but he was asked not too long ago, and he said he still hasn't found joy, happiness, satisfaction in life. Man, I wish we could, any one of you, could take 10 minutes with Mick Jagger. You can't anymore, too late. I wish I could spend 10 minutes with Brady and say, you're missing the mark. I know you're disappointed and you haven't found it. You haven't found it in all the accolades that have been heaped on you. I mean, many of you would say, man, give me his career. Give me whatever it is that he has. I'll take it. Not in lieu of Jesus, but, you know, it's not wrong to be a professional football player. That's okay to do. I'll change places with him, but I don't have any satisfaction. The wine has run out. And I don't know where to find it, and I've tried to find it, and I don't know where to go. And I'm looking outside of, well, where real joy resides. If you want joy, real joy, wonderful joy, let Jesus come into your life. Let Jesus come into your heart. Be filled with the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. But Mick Jagger doesn't know that. The woman at the well didn't know that in John 4, and she was trying to find a relationship. I've been with this guy, and I've been with that guy, and I've been with this other guy, and I've been with this guy too. And Jesus said, yeah, I know you don't have a husband. You've had a whole bunch of them. So you're telling the truth. You didn't have one. And by the way, just so in case you want to know, the man that you're living with now isn't your husband either. Here's a man that tells me everything I've ever done. And then Jesus gets around to saying to her, but you know what you're missing? You're missing a little water in your life. Your life is empty. It's barren, it's dry. You need to get filled. There's a water that I'll give you if you would take it. If you'd ask me, I'd give you the water. And hey, lady, you'd find satisfaction. And you wouldn't have to join Mick in singing, ain't got no satisfaction, because you'll find it. Because hallelujah, I have found him who so long my soul has craved. Jesus satisfies my longing. Through his blood I now am saved. Well, mama, I can't just... I got to do what my father wants me to do. And so Mary understood that. Mary wasn't going to press the issue. And Jesus lived that way. He did the things that pleased his father. It didn't matter who told him what. He wasn't going to listen to his great advisor. He wasn't going to listen to the latest guru on whoever it may be. He was going to find satisfaction, and he was going to only do what his father in heaven told him to do. Well, soon thereafter, Jesus begins to speak up. I think he spoke up because his father spoke up and he knew what to do. And Mary before that said, whatever my son tells you to do, and I have no idea what that might be, but whatever my son tells you to do, just do it. And Jesus says to these servants that were there at that feast, looking for joy, wanting joy, not knowing where to find it, it's all gone. It was there, but now it's no more. And Jesus says, I want you to get those pots that they use for the purification ceremony. They're large. What did I read, 20 to 30 gallons? How big is that, Brother Tom? How big is the gas tank in the boat?
That's 5 gallons.
That's 5 gallons. How big is a drum and a barrel? Is that 30 gallons? Maybe?
55.
That's 55. Okay, so somewhere in between. Now we got... Could you lift 25 gallons of water? See, no. Well, maybe some of you can that are well-built and... never mind. That's this morning. But no, you can't lift that. But fill them, what, to the brim. Fill them up to the brim. Now, there are a few things in there that at least I like and I see. Number one, does anybody here think Jesus needed those guys to put water in those pots before he could do a miracle? Could he have just made the wine in the bucket? And could he have really done that? Then why did he ask the servants to do that? Before you answer, let me give you another one. When Lazarus was in the tomb in John chapter 11, Lazarus is dead in the tomb 4 days. By this time he stinketh. There he is lying there. And Jesus gets out there and he says to the disciples, roll the stone away. What? Why? Why? Roll the stone away so that the guy can get out? I'm about to raise him from the dead. I don't think getting him out is going to be a big problem. I think if I want to, I can just get him through that stone somehow or other under the ground like a mole and bring him up from the dirt or like a loon in the lake. I don't need anybody's help. I don't think. Does anybody think Jesus needed help to get Lazarus out of the tomb? If he can raise him from the dead, he can get him out of the tomb, it would seem to me. And it would seem to me Jesus can turn the water into wine and he can make wine without water. He can do it all. So why does he do that? Why does he ask the disciples in John 11? Why does he ask the servants in John 2?
He wanted them to exercise faith.
Yeah. He wanted them to exercise faith. Did you know that God, Jesus, responds to faith? See, sometimes we think we need great faith to be able to do something. We need great faith. And I'm going to get great faith whether it kills me or not. And it might just kill you. We don't need great faith. How much faith do you need? You know how big a mustard seed is? Somebody just gave me because I mentioned in one place, I said I lost my mustard seed keychain that I got for Father's Day a few years ago. So somebody replaced it for me just recently. And again, I looked at that. Think that you could hardly see a mustard seed. There's not a lot of faith or a lot in that mustard seed thing. I don't need great faith. I don't need great faith because I have a great God. But I need to exercise some faith. Now, really, was it a great amount of faith to fill those water pots with water? And they did it exactly as Jesus said it, to the brim. Not halfway, not through. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. All right, what I want you to do, guys, is fill the water pots to the brim. And they did. In obedience to what they had been requested to do by Jesus. When the disciples moved the stone away from the sepulcher, Jesus then started to yell, Lazarus, come forth, and he came bouncing out. When they filled the water pots to the brim, and I think that, to me, represents something. I think to get the water into the water pots, you know, I hope they didn't say, oh, look at all the mud at the bottom of this pot. But, you know, it really doesn't make much difference. Let's just put water in there anyway and give out muddy water or something like that. I think they cleaned out the pots, and I don't think they had dirt in them. They were used for the ceremonies, for the purification. They were not dirty pots. Empty, but not dirty. But fill them to the brim with water. Again, in the Bible, we talked about this a few days ago. But water, to me, represents what it does in John 4 and John 7. I think John 2, it's the same John that's writing it all. And I think the water that is represented, that's fill my cup, Lord. Fill it up, Lord. Fill it with water. Well, water is what? Water is life. Really, water equals life, but I can also have it equal the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is life and gives life. And we need and can be filled to the brim with water. Well, we still don't have joy, though. We still don't have joy, but we got water. We're filled with water. But then all of a sudden, Jesus says something again, exercising faith. Okay, now what you got to do, you guys know what you put into those pots, and you know that they're filled with water, and now I want you to bear it out, draw out that water to the governor of the feast. The guy that's, you know, sorely disappointed because nobody has any wine here, give it to him and see what everybody thinks. And so they call these miracles of imperception. That's just a fancy name. It really just means nobody knows how it happened or when it happened, but we know it happened. I mean, was it happening when they stuck the ladle down in there and did it turn? Or was it when they brought it up out of the pot? Or was it when they started to dump it into, I don't know, in perception? Another one of them is when Jesus broke the bread, fed the 5,000 plus women and children. When he broke the bread and the fishes, that's a miracle. How did that happen? When did that happen? Was it in the breaking? Was it in the distribution? I don't know either. All I know is it happened. And so quietly and silently and without any fanfare and nobody even knowing what was going on. But they bring out, and from inside of a full soul in life, filled with Christ, filled with Jesus, filled with water of life, when you bear it out, there's joy. You pour out joy. Joy, Peter says, unspeakable and full of glory. And it issues forth, you know, the Holy Spirit, when he comes in, doesn't you just come in and let's put a lid on it. That might be nice. You might enjoy that or think that's what it's all about, but that's not what it's all about. Well, he fills me so that I might then be used by him, that there might be an overflow, that I might bear it out to others, that others might be blessed by what I have inside of me, Christ in me, born out to others. It turns into joy, and everybody was happy. Everybody was satisfied. The governor says, it's cute, I mean, I think it is. The governor had no idea what was going on here. What is this? We always use the best first and use the worst at the end. Well, that's the way the world operates, but that's not the way Jesus does things. The best is yet to come. It's sweeter as the years go by. It's richer, fuller, deeper. Jesus' love becomes more precious and more wonderful. And that river just flows more and more. As we're filled, it flows through us and it brings, well, yeah, joy. It brings joy to others. It satiates our thirst. It brings joy to our own lives. But it also meets the needs of others. And the governor says, I don't know where this came from, but it says the servants knew. The servants knew, because it was the servants that got the empty jars and brought those empty jars and filled them with water and brought those empty filled then jars of water to Jesus. And then Jesus said, okay, you're filled, but now it's time to go out and be used. Now it's time for me to flow through you to meeting the needs of others, to pray for the sick and they shall recover. To preach and give the word of Christ and expect that word of Christ will convict and speak to hearts and draw men and women to himself. And the bottom line of it all is to bring joy. To bring joy to a sourpuss. To bring joy to a disappointed, barren life. But first of all, we need to get over the disappointments and we need to be filled with joy ourselves. You know, in closing, there's that other empty pot story. The one in somewhere. Where is it? 2 Kings chapter someplace. Yeah, it's with Elisha. Another interesting man, but you remember in 2 Kings, it might be the 4th chapter. There, he comes across a woman who is really disappointed. Terribly disappointed. No fault of her, and her husband died. She didn't have any money to pay the creditors. She had a little bit of oil left. That's all she had. And, you know, what are you going to do? I mean, who are we blaming for this? We're not blaming anybody. But there's plenty of disappointment. Not only is my husband gone, I'm about ready to lose my 2 children. And they'll be gone. And, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do. And so what happens is the prophet says, oh, go get as many empty jars as you can find. Get as many, wherever you can get an empty pot, get one. Borrow them from the neighbors. Get jars, get as many as you can possibly get. And so they get them from all over. The woman and her two boys go collect all these empty pots. And then you remember what Elisha said, then take that little bit of oil that you have, that just that little bit, and pour it into those empty pots. Miracle of imperception. When did it happen? It was pouring, this little cruse of oil, and it was just poured. And I don't know when it happened. I don't know how it happened. I don't know if it looked like it was getting emptier but never did, or if there was a source unseen. I don't know what was going on there, but I do know this. They just kept on pouring the little bit of oil into all these big pots, and all these big pots are being filled with oil, and I don't know what's going on here. But I do know that then the prophet said, okay, lady, go take that oil and sell it. Sell it to everybody that you know, and then when you get the money that you just got from selling all the oil, go pay your creditors and live happily ever after, and live with joy unspeakable and full of glory, and tell everybody else what God can do. Well, that's what she did, and that's what happened at the end of that story. Both John 2, 2 Kings 4, if that's where it is, and in your life too. In my life too. Jesus, I'm disappointed tonight. I'm disappointed in this or that and whatever. Could be a number of different things and disappointment. It could be big stuff like the lady who lost her husband and was about ready to lose her kids. Or the little stuff, which I would say is the wedding feast at Cana of Galilee. But big disappointments are little disappointments. God's interested. He cares. And he's there to take the gloom and fill the life with glory. He's there to give you joy for the spirit of heaviness. He's ready to take that sorrow and that difficulty in your soul and your spirit away and change you and then make you a blessing to others. Now, that's all a miracle. John 2, 2 Kings 4, it's all a miracle. It's nothing that you can do or I can do. The only thing we could do is lend a little bit of faith. And whoever was singing over there was singing, fill me now. Fill me now. Jesus, come and fill me now. Lord, you got an empty pot over here. You got an empty vessel, clean through Jesus' precious blood. But Lord, now that I'm emptied, Lord, would you come and would you fill me? Would you satisfy me? Would you take away the angst, the sour, the whatever it might be that you feel that struggles in your breast? Bring your case to Jesus. And Jesus, fill me. Fill me with water. Fill me with your joy. Fill me with that wine of your gladness. And Lord, I thank you that you're able to make my life joy unspeakable and full of glory. And the half has never yet been told. And I trust that God is doing that, will continue to do that for any disappointed ones here. But you know disappointed people? Does anybody know anybody who's ain't got no satisfaction? Does anybody know anybody that's looking around someplace to try to find it? Anybody know Tom Brady? Maybe can get to him somehow or other, and probably not. But we all know people. And maybe Jesus wants to say to you and to me, okay, I've satisfied you. I've brought you my joy. And you're filled with joy and praise and glory because you're the temple of the Holy Ghost. But bear it out to the governor of the feast. Go bring it and pay the creditors off. Go meet that need over there and spread a little joy in a world that's so filled with sorrow and anguish and agony and pain. Dear Jesus, we thank you tonight that you offer to us. Lord, I can talk about water and I can talk about wine and I can talk about oil, but I'm talking all about Jesus. That's what it is. Jesus, we want you. And you are that spirit. And you are that oil. And you are that water of life. and you're what we need, and you're all there is in this world that will satisfy our longing. And Lord, maybe we found it so, but maybe it's hard for us to hold on to that joy. Maybe it's easy to, well, run out somehow midstream, and the disappointment sets in. And it happens. It happens to all of us. But we turn unfilled to Thee again. Thou of life, the fountain art, freely let me take of Thee. Spring Thou up within my heart, rise throughout eternity. And Lord, we pray this not selfishly only for ourselves, because we want to be happy and joyful people, and we want to, Lord, we think of others. We think of the Bradys. We think of the Jaggers. We think of our neighbors. We think of our classmates. We think of people who are really trying to find it. They're looking all over the place, and they'll never find it in where they're looking. And we have the answer. Jesus, help us. Help us to let the river flow from us. Help us to let the joy and the streams of life issue forth, and may it bring joy to everyone else that's at the feast. And may we be able to give to everyone a reason for the hope that lies in us, and explain to them the inexplicable joy that you've given to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus, I thank you, Lord. Jesus, I thank you, Lord. I have found him who my soul so long has craved. Jesus, that is my
462. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. There is a river that flows from deep within. There is a fountain that frees the soul from sin. Come to these waters. There is a vast supply. There is a river that never shall run dry. There was a thirsty woman who was drawing from a well. Her life was ruined and wasted. Her soul was bound for hell. Then she met the Master, who told of her great sin. And if you'll drink this water, you'll never thirst again. Hallelujah! Oh, glory, glory! There's a river, oh Lord, that we come. Hallelujah! Flows from deep within. Hallelujah, we praise you, Lord. There is a fountain that's filled with His great love. Come to these waters. There is a vast supply. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we praise you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Jesus, we love you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, we praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The last invitation in the Bible, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And anybody who is thirsty, let them come. Let them take the free gift of the water of life. Oh, that invitation is for me. And it's for you. And as it says, whosoever will, let him come. If you'd ask me, I would give you this water, lady, and you'll never, ever, ever thirst again. I know how wicked you are. I know how bad off you are, and I know how you don't have any joy. But I tell you, lady, if you'd ask me, I'd fill you with joy unspeakable, and a half has never yet been told. That woman went back and started a church in Samaria. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, do you want to give us joy tonight? Do you want to cause our cups to overflow and to run over? And the overflow to be the ministry of your Spirit to others? I believe He does. I believe He does. Now it's time to close the meeting or go to prayer. Whichever you feel you need to do, if you need to go back and go to sleep. But if you can stay, and I it seems to me, at least, that there's not a whole lot of social distancing going on. And I'd like to ask tonight, those of you young men that are here, and you're right here, you're here in the front, and you that are in the back, you can come to the front. Could you pray for each other? You know, that's a faith. We agree together. We unite our faith. Now, what's that going to do? What big deal? No, it's not a big deal. It's a mustard seed. But as we unite our faith together and believe one for another, we can pray and ask Jesus to fill us with himself. If you're disappointed, he can fill your disappointment with himself. He can change that water into the power of his spirit and cause there to be an overflowing out of your innermost being to flow rivers of water. Pray one for another. I'm going to ask the waitresses and the whatever, the housekeepers, the old ones can stay there. I'm just asking us to pray for each other. The young ladies over here with Sister Diane. And if you can't stay, please don't. But if you can, just for a few minutes, but let's pray. Let's ask the Lord. Let's call upon him. And those of you in Watch Rock guests, you know what to do, don't you? You know what to pray. You know how to pray. And let's just touch the Lord for one another. And if there's anybody that doesn't have anybody to pray for, I'm here. And you can ask the Lord to help me. Lord, that rivers, Jesus, help me to be filled with your joy. Radiant glory. Oh, Lord Jesus. And so God bless you if you go. And God bless us as we stay. And let's just look to him and see what he'll yet do for us. Hallelujah. He will fill your heart tonight to overflowing, as the Lord commanded you. Bring your vessels, not a few. He will fill your heart tonight to overflowing with the Holy Ghost and love. Bring your empty earthen vessels clean through Jesus' precious blood. Come ye clean. Counselors or work, come pray with these men. Let's continue to ask the Lord for help. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Jesus, pour out your spirit upon every one of us, Lord. Hallelujah. Dear Lord, bless these men, oh God. Fill them with joy. Hallelujah.